We're talking about our state parks and reserving your space at one of Wisconsin's natural wonders. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. From Apostle Islands to Prairie du Chien's Mississippi River views, from the Kettle Moraine to Governor Dodge State Park, we're learning about prized natural treasures that are right under our feet and how to reserve a campsite. Last year, according to the DNR, almost 18 million people visited 70 state parks and trails. So what is your favorite state park? Which state parks have you explored this summer? What did you see? What did you do? Which parks do you hope to see before the fall? Join in at 800-642-1234. Missy Van Landit is External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program at Wisconsin's Department of Natural Resources. Missy, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
So when we think of state parks, we immediately go to the heavy hitters. We go to Devil's Lake, Apostle Islands, Lake Superior, Kettle Moraine. What are some of the other popular parks that might fly under the radar?
There are so many, you know, with technically 49 state parks, lots of trails and forests, so many to think about. What I like to tell people is, you know, sometimes in the summer you go to Devil's Lake, but there's so many other properties, five or six others within an hour of that. So some great ones to check out: Pottawatomie State Park. If you're heading up to Door County, everyone thinks about Peninsula, but you can check out Pottawatomie right in Sturgeon Bay. Gorgeous property. Council Grounds. So again, many people might know of Rib Mountain in Wausau.
Yep.
Council Grounds is just north of there. I love their group camp. It's a really nice setup for group camping. Nelson Dewey is a wonderful property. Many people go to Wyalusing over in Grant County to look at Mississippi River, but Nelson Dewey is equally as gorgeous with campsites right on top of the bluff. So lots of wonderful properties out there.
Oh my gosh. So you've given us a taste, but let's start from the top with Pottawatomie. When you go there, what is it like? What does it feel like?
You know, it's gorgeous views of the bay and the lake, wonderful wooded camping, gorgeous trails, lots of different types of trails, a lot of winter interest there as well. So not only camping, hiking, biking, but snowmobiling and cross-country skiing there as well. So just beautiful. You get some of the rock outcropping like you do with the Niagara Escarpment at the other Door County properties, but you also get gorgeous woods, really intimate feeling. Not as many visitors as some of the most popular parks.
Yeah, I was going to say, about how many campsites or how many people might be there in a typical summer weekend?
I believe on a typical summer weekend, you know, you may be seeing in the thousands versus in the tens of thousands at some of the other properties. Mm-hmm. But what's nice about those other properties is you can find yourself alone on a trail, or you can find yourself maybe with a little bit of space in the campground. So it's nice to visit those. They can give you gorgeous views, beautiful amenities without some of the crowds.
Okay, so Rib Mountain State Park near Wausau, this billion-year-old hill, one of the oldest geologic formations on Earth.
Mm-hmm. It's incredible. And, you know, one of the neat things there is we've actually added a lot of picnic areas. So many of people, you know, even this weekend, they might be packing up the car right now to head up north. That's a great place to stop, grab a picnic, sit outside with your kids, gorgeous views of Wausau. There's a tower to climb, beautiful, where you can see all those rock outcroppings. You can get a really neat idea of what the hill and the views are there with the trails, and lots of neat open air and enclosed shelters there to explore.
And I didn't take note. What is that other, what are some of those other under the radar properties?
Sure. Council Grounds, which is just north of there. Mm-hmm. It's right on a flowage, so you can put in and do some kayaking up there. Again, wonderful, quiet campground. I can't remember the number, but a very intimate amount of campground space there. Gorgeous historic shelters, some CCC built, Civilian Conservation Corps built structures there, and wonderful trails. Mm-hmm. So again, getting off the beaten path a little bit, that's in Merrill, Wisconsin. And then Nelson Dewey over in Grant County. So many people, if you love Wyalusing but you can't get in there, check out Nelson Dewey. It's great, gorgeous property with Mississippi River Valley views and wonderful fall color. And even better in the winter because you can view tons of eagles that are on the river from Nelson Dewey.
Oh, how gorgeous. We're traveling to our favorite state parks on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Missy Van Landit joins us from the DNR. What state parks have you visited this summer? Which ones are your favorites? Which parks do you still want to explore before the summer ends? Are you making reservations now for next year? Or are you planning a family reunion next year at a park? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Take us to the Sheboygan area with Kohler Andre State Park. What can we do there?
You can do all kinds of different things there. You know, with water levels as high as they are, the beaches do still exist. They may not be as big as they are, but you can certainly enjoy the beach and the lake there. There is a wonderful cordwalk, boardwalk that goes through the dunes, so you can safely access the dunes without damaging any endangered resources there. So I would highly recommend a hike along the dunes. There's a wonderful nature center, lots of picnicking, and there's actually an accessible fishing pier inland on a tiny little lake. So lots of neat things to do at Kohler.
Pero State Park, about 10 miles north of La Crosse. The park's 1,200 acres are in this bluff setting.
Yes. Again, another gorgeous view of Mississippi River. Brady's Bluff is a wonderful thing to hike. They have tons of views of Mississippi River. They've also got the lowlands and the backwaters of the Mississippi. So again, a great place for fall color if you're thinking about planning a trip. Wonderful access to the Mississippi as well. Gorgeous, quiet camping. And they actually just celebrated their 100th year anniversary last year. So they've been on the map a while.
Let's go to Dan now, joining us from Drummond. Hi, Dan.
Hello. For me, because I grew up in Mellon, Wisconsin, there's Copper Falls State Park. If you want to get back to nature, that is the one park to go to.
Oh, Dan, what are some of your favorite memories?
Well, different ones. I mean, it's we used to. It's become part of the park now, and that's Loom Lake. It's called. That's where a lot of the town people used to go swimming in that. Oh. And there's trails all through the park, and they got camping. It's just a beautiful, beautiful park.
Dan, thank you so much. What do we know about Copper Falls?
You know, Copper Falls, I hate to even go there, but one of my top five favorite parks. I love Copper Falls. It's a really complete family-friendly park. So, you know, you are very north. So you're about...
This is near Ashland?
Yep, it's about 30 minutes south of Ashland. So from the southern part of the state, four and a half hours, maybe five. But it's a very complete park, and that Dan's right. It's got Loon Lake. The Friends group there actually rents canoes, kayaks, stand-up paddleboards, so you can explore the lake. But you can also hike the trails and see the waterfalls as well, and then a gorgeous little family campground as well.
Oh, that is so neat. One of our followers on Twitter used two exclamation points to emphasize how much they love all state parks. One of their favorites is an island about 30 miles north of Eau Claire, Bruny Island.
Yes. Okay. You know, Bruny Island's unique. It is an island. You go over a little bridge to get there. What I love is telling people, enjoy the journey. The river road that gets you there. It's winding, gorgeous tree-lined road that gets you there. One of our few parks where you can actually camp along the water. So you can bring your kayak or canoe, and you can camp and then put right into the river in the backwaters there.
We are exploring the nooks and crannies of our state's amazing natural wonders on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. The DNR's Missy Van Landit is helping us out. She's External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Have you tried reserving a campsite for a state park? How did that go? Were you able to find a great site? Do you have trouble getting the weekend you want? What do you think about visiting our state parks? Join in, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more Wisconsin Weekend on the Ideas Network. We're on a tour of Wisconsin State Parks and how to make plans for a campsite for next year, especially at the popular ones. You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nearly 18 million people explored the state parks and trails last year. So what is your favorite state park? Which state parks have you explored this summer? What did you see? What did you do? Did a particular state park experience surprise you in any way? Your stories, your impressions, they're welcome at 800-642-1234. The DNR's Missy Van Landit is our guide. She's external relations chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program, and she stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Carol joining us from Hazelhurst. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Yeah, I think our favorite is has got to be Harpin Creek State Park, which is east of Stevens Point. We love the mountain bike trails. They're really, really, really fun. And they have a great big, huge open field close by to the park where we go and fly our kite.
Nice.
We love to do that. And Waupaca's close by. They have some nice restaurants there, good places to shop if you want to go for an afternoon, and a couple of breweries, too.
Oh, Carol, thanks for setting the scene for us. Hartman Creek State Park.
Gorgeous park, you know, and right on one of the chain of lakes in the state, too. So you can actually have access from the park. There's a little dock, and you can explore the chain of lakes. And, you know, again, another very complete park, camping, hiking, biking, equestrian trails, a beautiful beach with a concessionaire that sells goods for you. So a wonderful little park nestled in southeast Wisconsin.
Love it. Well, let's go back to Door County now. Newport State Park was Wisconsin's only formally designated wilderness park.
Great place to see the night sky. It's, you know, dark sky property, so it's a great place to go and see the Milky Way if you're into that or into photography. Wonderful trails, lake access, inland trails and big lake trails, as well as really hiking, nice remote camping as well opportunities.
You briefly mentioned Wyalusing State Park near Prairie du Chien. Perhaps a little bit harder to get in there? What's the
attraction? It may. You know, it was a little hidden gem in the last few years, but people are finding it now. It's, you know, with gorgeous views of the Mississippi, wonderful camping opportunities, a park that has a lot of neat archaeological features, which draws people.
Native American mounds.
Exactly. And some unique mound formations that are found nowhere else in the state.
And also some civilian conservation corps buildings, I understand.
Yes, wonderful historic park, lots of neat little shelters and open-air shelters, enclosed places that were built by the CCC.
And an astronomy center. So
yes, one of the only ones in the state on state park lands.
Very cool. So the DNR recently adopted a new fee system that raised entrance and campsite prices at popular state parks like Devil's Lake. Is that helping drive people to more of these under-the-radar hidden gems?
In some cases, it is, you know, and especially when it comes to camping, because we've actually reduced rates on some properties for camping, especially during the week and during the what we call shoulder seasons of spring and fall.
So for really popular parks, how far in advance should people book these campsites?
You know, for electric campsites, many people are booking 11 months out, which is the furthest or closest that you can book campsites. So the Devil's Lake, Peninsula, Kohler, Willow River. People are booking those electric sites 11 months out. But you know what I tell people and what the little online secret is? People have plans and they have families and they cancel. So you should always be checking because campsites may become available at your favorite property.
Oh, so kind of, you know, check once in a while,
exactly.
You know, from here and now because something might pop up.
Yep.
The DNR awarded the contract for its campsite reservation system to a new company last year. How has that new system been working out this summer?
You know, it's been working great, and we've gotten a lot of really positive feedback, much more searchable options, and you can search by map, and it's got different color coding. And I think the best thing that people like is actually the reservation fee is a little bit lower. So it's been working really nicely. We've uploaded a lot of refreshed information about the campsites, including pictures. So folks are really liking it though, so far.
We're traveling to our favorite state parks on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. Missy Van Landit is with the DNR. You can join in with your favorite campsite, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Missy, in May, the DNR started this pilot program offering same-day reservations at 15 state parks. What have you seen out of that pilot program?
People are loving it. You know, so many folks maybe have last-minute cancellations in their own plans, but they want to get out to state parks. So it's a nice opportunity for those of us like me who maybe say, I really want to go, but I don't want to show up and not know that there's a campsite. So you can get those same-day reservations. Also, within the season, you can get a single-night reservation. If you're booking for next year, it's a two-night minimum. But for this year, you can go for just one night, which is people really like.
So here's a fun fact to know and tell about you. You have visited almost every state park and trail in this state, except for one.
Except for one, yeah.
Would you like to divulge a little more information about that?
You know, this job, I'm so lucky to have this job. And in my personal life, you know, my family and I, we love state parks. So I've been able to get out to all the state parks and trails, all of the forests, and Wildcat Mountain is my missing piece. So I'm hoping to get out there this fall. But, you know, I love to explore and recreate in all forms. So it's fun to be able to get out to all of our properties.
When you go out, and I know you're going out midweek for job-related work, but you're out there on weekends mm-hmm. as well. Do you have any tips for packing, for getting ready to go out to a state park?
Well, I'm a list maker. So, you know, I love to make lists. There's tons of blogs online if you want to check it out. I would say, you know, go to our web pages if you're planning a trip. You know, search the property that you're looking to go to. There's rules if you're a rule follower. But there's also some tips and things out there for what to pack, knowing about firewood restrictions. But, you know, the nice thing is we are nestled in very supportive, great communities. And we've got concessionaires at our property. So if you forget something, there's likely something close by that you can go grab whatever it is you need.
So with the popular parks, this is a question I want to ask. Are some parks cleaner, showers warmer? Do you know, are there particular parks that have a little bit more amenities for that you would think of at home?
You know, most of our parks, I wouldn't say anyone is like cleaner or different mm-hmm. that way. Some parks do have a toilet shower building for taking showers where some don't. A great example is up in Douglas County. Pattison State Park has a shower building. Amnicon does not. So you may find the smaller, more remote parks, if you like that experience, don't have some of those amenities, but others do. And, you know, again, different recreational opportunities, but then different amenities for the things that are like at home too.
What are some great day trips to state parks that are closer to our cities and yet you still feel that escape?
You know, with Madison, I love to check out Mirror Lake. It's a really good day trip, 45 minutes. There's so many parks and trails. It's a good thing to do when you're thinking about, oh, summer's almost over, but how do I get outside and still enjoy things? Picnicking, throwing the bike on the car, going for a quick paddle. There are so many parks within an hour's drive of Milwaukee, Madison, Hudson or Minneapolis, so Green Bay, lots of different parks out there to just enjoy before school starts.
Yeah, and speaking of school starting, I know that when my kids are in summer camp, they take a ton of these day trips to state parks. Governor Dodge mm-hmm. is one of their tried and true, you know, standards. What can we see at Governor Dodge?
You know, for kids, especially they go to the beach, and it's a very well-maintained beach. Stevens Falls is a little hidden gem. So many people look for waterfalls in the state and they don't think about the southern part of the state. Now, we're not talking the highest waterfall east of the Mississippi, but we are talking a great little waterfall that's easy to get to, wonderful trails, great camping, and also equestrian trails, another place to find that in the southern part of the state.
And so you would bring your horse and you can ride those trails.
Exactly.
So we've had a lot of severe weather in the state. How have state parks been impacted by the latest round of tornadoes and hail damage, storm damage?
You know, speaking of the last caller who talked about Hartman Creek, that was one that was hit pretty hard by a tornado a couple weeks ago. A lot of damage in the campground, but they managed to get it open within about 5 days. So, and Straight Lake State Park had a lot of wind damage from a tornado. And more notably, a lot of our cooperative trails. So we have trails that the state owns, but our county partners help manage. And so more in the northwest and northeast part of the state, we've been pretty affected by all the trees that have come down, tens of thousands of acres on our state lands.
Does the DNR have any ideas on the books or potential for expanding for more state parks, or are we right at capacity right now?
You know, I don't know that we're even at capacity, but we also don't have any plans for current expansion. Okay. We are doing things to improve the parks that are already out there, adding trails, potentially campsites, electrifying additional campsites, new shower buildings, but no current plans to add any state parks right now.
Okay, so only a few weeks left of summer. In the last few seconds we have, what are some great options for us as we start to go back to school?
Think about the trails. It's an easy way to get out. You can spend a couple of hours if you're busy school shopping, getting the kids ready, not wanting to take a big trip. Check out the trails. It's what we call the window to outdoor recreation. So go for a hike, a bike ride, an ATV ride, whatever floats your boat, but get out there and explore the trails.
Missy, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And we've been talking about Wisconsin's state parks with Missy Van Landit. She's External Relations Chief with the Parks and Rec Management Program. That's part of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. It is Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. Coming up, we travel to a lunar festival that will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. It's music, dancing, a giant inflatable moon. It's right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. We're checking out a weekend festival in Milwaukee that's celebrating all things lunar. It is Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. A 23-foot replica of our moon is hovering above Milwaukee's historic Third Ward as part of a festival commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 landing. The inflatable moon artwork is called Museum of the Moon, and it's been on tour for several years. Are you fascinated by the moon? Do you remember when Neil Armstrong walked on the moon? What were you doing? How old were you? How do you feel about pop-up one-off festivals? We're at 800-642-1234. Kate Blomquist is a producer for the Under One Moon Pop-Up Festival in Milwaukee, and she joins us from our studios in Milwaukee. Kate, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So how did this idea to create this particular lunar festival, how did it come about?
It all really started with Black Box Fund, our organizing sponsor. They had seen images of Luke Jerram's piece, Museum of the Moon, and just thought it was beautiful and full of wonder, and thought it would be a great piece to bring to Milwaukee as their inaugural festival.
Okay, so this is a UK-based artist, Luke Jerram, and give us an idea of what this artwork is.
It is, as you said, 23 feet wide in diameter. It's made of material very similar to material used for hot air balloons. And so it takes imagery from NASA. It is printed on this material, and it's stitched together to create this just incredible sphere that is inflated and we have hanging above the fountain in Catalano Square.
Okay, so how is it up there? Like, how is it suspended?
It's suspended from a crane, and then there are guy wires connecting it to sort of give it some stabilization above that fountain. It is also lit internally 24/7, which it's really a beautiful moment. During the day, you can see this gorgeous object, and then around dusk, it just is magic the way it begins to glow from inside because of our sun setting.
Is the moon accurate in terms of what it is showing and the formations?
Oh, yes, definitely. This is imagery from NASA. The actual photograph that was used to create this piece, I believe, is 21 meters long. It's huge. It's absolutely enormous, and then was reduced to be printed onto this surface.
And so you were able to recruit this particular piece of artwork to Milwaukee for this festival, and then the festival kind of grew up around it?
Definitely, yes. The centerpiece is Museum of the Moon, but then we started thinking about all the amazing different cultural groups in the city and talking to them about it, and we got such wonderful responses. We have a great set of programming for the weekend.
Okay, so what does it mean to be a pop-up festival?
It means that this is only happening this weekend. It's not going to be like many other festivals in Milwaukee that occur every summer, have tried and true vendors. This is unique and is just happening tonight, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
And why do you think Wisconsin should recognize, such a historical event like the moon landing and create a celebration around it?
I think the moon has just been so fascinating for people. I was not alive to see the moon landing, but it was a story that I heard about as a kid from my grandparents and my parents. And then when you'd go out at night and see it rise, you know, the experience of seeing it, just the hint of it as the sun is starting to set and then it glowing above you is just, it's a mystery. It's magic. I think it's something that can really bring us together.
We're talking with Kate Blomquist. She's a producer of the Under One Moon Pop-Up Festival that's happening this weekend in Milwaukee. You can join in 800-642-1234. Do you have a fascination with the moon? What is it about the moon that intrigues you? What do you think of pop-up festivals like this one to celebrate a specific milestone in our history? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Kate, besides the replica of the moon, what can you tell us about other artwork that will be on display?
There is a lot of things happening. We will have several chalk artists and muralists live painting on Saturday and Sunday with lunar-based imagery. We are also going to have a Skylight Music Theater on Sunday doing a set of moon music. And on Saturday, a different group of musicians are coming in. We have Strawberry Moon Singers, as well as Holly Habig and her Full Moon family. They're doing an hour of storytelling. And we'll close out that evening with 1913, which is a really, really gorgeous sort of abstract music duo, Janet Schiff and Victor De Lorenzo.
And we're going to get to the music later, but in terms of this artwork, this lunar artwork, what does it feel like? What do you see?
When you're walking up to the Museum of the Moon?
Well, and the other artwork on display as well.
Well, it's not that everything is on display all the time. It's definitely is a set of programming, which you can find more information at underonemoon.org, as well as on social media, Facebook and Instagram, and that you can search for Under One Moon or Black Box Fund to find that information. Everything's happening sort of like on an hourly basis.
How close can you get to the moon itself, the replica of the moon?
You can get pretty close. There is the fountain underneath that, directly underneath it, so you can't be directly under its center, and you can't touch it. It's definitely well above us. It's about 13 feet lifted into the air.
Yeah, and so that crane is off to the side then, and this moon is just there, lingering right above you, full moon.
100%, yes. When you approach the park from Erie, you can see it sort of appearing through the trees, or when you come straight down Broadway, it just has this gorgeous view down that boulevard.
Are you an artist? Have you created lunar artwork yourself?
I am an artist. I grew up in Milwaukee, but now I live in New York, actually, and I have created some pieces that were inspired by the moon. I did a residency in Kenya on an island, and it is absolutely fascinating how the moon affects the tides when you are living on an island. You know, there would be days where I'd have to completely change what I was doing because, oh, right, I'm used to walking to the market at this time, but right now the path is underwater. I've got to figure out a new way to go.
High tide, low tide.
Yes, definitely.
Very much deciding what you can and can't do in your day.
Yeah, and so I made these cyanotypes, which is a photographic process that is normally exposed with the sun, but I actually would use the moonlight when it was full because it was that bright.
Wow.
And then would rinse it with the tide water.
Oh, how gorgeous.
Yes.
And then, so these are actual prints?
Yes, cyanotype prints.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So now that you're back in Milwaukee, how does it feel to be home and organizing this festival?
It's so fantastic. It's been such a wonderful experience to reconnect with all these different performers and artists in the city and to really just feel their excitement to create something special and specific for the Under One Moon Festival.
Are you surprised at all by how much art there is out there that has a connection to the moon in some way?
I am not, actually. It's something we see on a daily basis. And the once a month when it isn't present, you also feel that. And so I think it's just something that we maybe don't think about every day, but really does affect our lives.
So when you were recruiting people to be a part of this festival and artists and the lineup, you know, what was the draw here? How did you get people on board to put this festival together?
It really was Luke Jerram's piece. It is just a gorgeous object, and it provides such a moment of magic, I think. It's a unique thing to have in Milwaukee. We have a lot of great outdoor sculpture here, but to have something that's going to be here so briefly that is so large and impressive, I think got people very excited. And also the Third Ward. It is a really beautiful space in the city that has a lot of easy access, wonderful retailers, and the public market right there. It felt like a good space to have this pop up.
Yeah, can you describe the historic Third Ward and the square where this pop-up festival is?
I think the best point of entry is coming down Broadway. And as you walk down that boulevard, you have shops on either side. There's also the Broadway Theater Center down at the end towards Menominee. And then you reach the fountain in Catalano Square. It's this rather small, sedate fountain that has a really serene presence. Off to the right, there's sort of like a triangle of grass, so people can come and lounge in the grass. We'll have picnic tables set up. There'll be food and wine and beer vendors as well, so people can stay and hang out and sort of like create their own picnic with the food that we provide.
And when you come home and visit Milwaukee, are there some things that you just have to do when you're back that you really miss living in New York?
I definitely have to go to the lakefront. It is, you know, New York is on water, but Milwaukee's lakefront is very, very special. My sister lives down in Bayview, and it's just such a treat to, you know, hang out in the backyard at her house and then walk down and just see the lake and look up towards the skyline.
Do you find that Milwaukee has an artist community that is thriving, that is vibrant?
Definitely. MARN, the Milwaukee Artist Resource Network, has been really helpful with us putting together this festival, and I think they provide a great support system for artists in the city.
So when we come to the festival, of course, the moon will be there right for us, but you're also having some people speak at the festival about the moon landing. What can we learn about the moon when we come to this festival?
Yes, definitely. Their talks won't necessarily be about the moon landing, but will be about their moon experiences. On Friday evening, we have Jean Creighton from the Manfred Planetarium, and she's going to be giving some moon stories. I think she might even do a couple moon songs for us.
Hmm.
And then our other special guest speaker is retired astronaut Wendy Lawrence, who will be talking about her experience of becoming an astronaut on Sunday at 4 p.m.
And Wendy Lawrence, is she coming from out of state? Does she have a connection to Wisconsin?
She is coming from out of state. She is actually based in Seattle currently, but she has such a great presence. I think that she was the first female to graduate from the Naval Academy and then go into space. So I think her story is very inspiring.
We're talking about a weekend festival in Milwaukee that's commemorating the Apollo 11 anniversary. Kate Blomquist is producer of the pop-up festival. It's called Under One Moon. Are you a local musician or artist who performs at local events like this one? Where do you perform, and what do you think of Milwaukee bringing in local artists and performers for this pop-up festival celebrating all things lunar? Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for a Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're talking about a Milwaukee festival opening today, running through the weekend, called Under One Moon. So this is a one-time event to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing, and the event features this 23-foot replica of the full moon created by this UK-based artist. It's called Museum of the Moon. Have you ever been to a pop-up festival before that is a one-off event? What is it like, and what do you think of these types of events? Join in 800-642-1234. Kate Blomquist is organizing the Under One Moon Festival in Milwaukee, and she stays with us. Let's go to the phones now with Mr. G joining us from Madison. Hi, Mr. G.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind about this festival?
Hey, well, first, I just love that the idea of supporting arts in this way, mixing kind of a little history and science in with it. But also, I wanted to comment on 1913 playing at this festival, as I think their music will be romantically haunting or hauntingly romantic, just like the moon seems to be.
Wow. So are you heading out to this festival this weekend?
I am going to be there for some of all the things, but certainly going to catch 1913 set Under the Moon.
Yeah, sounds like a plan. Thank you so much. Kate, what about 1913, and how do you make music sound lunar?
We were really drawn to them because we want the experience of the moon to be relaxed and a little atmospheric. You know, we want people to be able to come and hang out underneath it, and I think what they provide is a very, very sort of chilled out zone for people to experience it and let the music just wash over them. In addition to that live music, we also have a surround sound piece that tours with the Museum of the Moon that's done by the composer Dan Jones. And that piece combines music and spoken word from interviews and original recordings from the moon landing.
Oh, so when you're in the vicinity of the moon replica, that is what you hear?
Yes. If there's not a performance actively happening, you will be hearing the Dan Jones piece.
What types of performances will there be? Can you kind of give us a sense besides 1913?
Oh, I mean, there are so many. I really, really recommend that people check out our schedule of events. We also have poetry readings. On this evening, we'll be ending the night with Don Linke on a jazz quintet featuring Janet Planet.
Mm. I love the name.
Yes, yeah. There's a lot of moon names that have come up. We've got Janet Planet, and on Sunday we have Renee Bubo Luna, who is doing she's doing 2 hours of free tattoos, henna tattoos for kids, but then she will also be doing this durational performance where she's going to try to cover a model's nearly entire body with lunar imagery.
Wow. Okay. So what type of dancing will there be?
For dance, we mainly have Water Street Dance, which is actually going to perform twice on Saturday. They'll do an afternoon set, and then they're going to do a reprise of a few pieces in the evening so we can feel sort of the magic of them in the dusk of the moon when it's become lit.
And for families, as they attend this festival, are there some really kid-friendly options?
I think every day is extremely kid-friendly, but on Sunday we have a few special things. We have an imagination station play area for kids. We'll also have some moon beach balls to hand out. And I think the henna tattoos are always exciting for kids, too.
Yes. So, you know, as we start to wrap up here, Kate, what is the atmosphere that you are trying to create and that you will be able to be there this weekend and say, yes, that is it?
I think our atmosphere is one where you get really entranced by the magic of this object and you're able to experience these different performers that don't always do, you know, the summer festivals in Milwaukee. Most people we have coming in are not regulars, per se, at other festivals, so it's a really unique experience to catch them here.
Kate, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Kate.
Kate Blomquist is producer of the Under One Moon Pop-Up Festival in Milwaukee, and she joined us from our studios in Milwaukee. You can find a link to the festival information on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. Time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum, who takes us on a miniature train ride in the Wisconsin Dells.
An historic railway dating back to the 1940s welcomes thousands of families to southern Wisconsin every year. Courtney Everett rides the rails to learn more about steam locomotives.
Tourists come from near and far to visit the Wisconsin Dells. Tucked off County Road N, there's the smell of coal and a sound that draws families to the Riverside and Great Northern Railway. Nearly 16,000 families come yearly to ride a mini steam locomotive through the woods.
I love it. I love coal smoke in my lungs and steam oil in my veins.
That's board member, conductor, and engineer Jim Schultz of Sheboygan. He says Elmer and Norman Sandley created the mini railway in Janesville in the late 1940s, called the Sandley Light Railway Equipment Works.
Our track is 15-inch gauge.
It's a much smaller version of tracks back then. The Preservation Society acquired the railway and its facilities after the father-son team moved their business to the Dells in the 1950s, and it remains there today. The Sandleys started the business to help tell the story of steam locomotives in the U.S.
There's something about the technology, the moving parts, the smells, the sights, the sounds that just captures your imagination.
Although these locomotives are smaller, retired mechanical engineer Gary Martin says 250 volunteers worked to preserve the railway. He says maintaining it, along with two steam locomotives and 14 buildings, is a year-round job.
We've got one member that basically does nothing but paint. About the time he gets done with the last one, he's ready to start over again.
But right now, volunteers are focused on repairing their track. Preservation Society President Stephen Bradley says heavy rainfall destroyed half the railway last summer.
We got 4 inches of rain in about 2 hours' time, and then we got an additional 10 inches of rain throughout the night.
That created landslides and washouts, creating a shorter ride than usual.
We are making an extra trip out to help make up for the rail loss time that you would have.
But on a warm summer morning, that doesn't stop volunteers from getting Locomotive 98 up and running.
It takes about two and a half hours to fire up a steam engine. It takes a while to boil 50 gallons of water.
Back it up to the water tank, fill it up with water, couple to the passenger cars that are in place already, and first train at 10.
And you can't forget the coal.
Wow, that's a small football. It'll burn.
Then families like the Wojaks await departure.
Kids love the trains. I like the trains. That's why we came out.
We were here when he was like 3 months old, maybe, or maybe a year old. And so we were just coming back to see it.
As the top of the hour approaches, you hear a familiar phrase and know it's time.
All aboard! How old are you?
Three.
See? We'll give you two extra punches.
Once aboard one of eight windowless passenger cars, families take in nature, fresh air, and get to learn more about the railway.
This is a direct fuel injector. Don't worry, it's a shovel.
After it's over, it's not really over for railway volunteers.
It's a good place, great people, worthy cause.
Who get to do it again tomorrow.
Beautiful scenery. And did I mention steam locomotives?
WPR's Courtney Everett brought us that story on the Riverside and Great Northern Railway, which runs through October. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas for Wisconsin Weekend to mornings at WPR.org. That's mornings at WPR.org, and we'll explore your tip for a future Wisconsin Weekend program. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.